We come and we just want to be obedient. We want to lift our pastor to you, and we want to ask that you just would give him the right words to say and the combination to strike a chord within our hearts, Lord, that it would trigger in us just the desire to be forever changed because of your power. So, Father, work that in us through the power of your Spirit. Father, give us that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. And also, there's in the bulletin outline that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint as well. As we move into the message this morning, I had a different message prepared, and I was, as I was working through things and thinking through things in the week, I was like, oh, I know exactly what to preach on, Lord, and began to kind of plan along those lines and began to jot some notes down and read some scripture, and then Thursday late in the day, the Lord just changed it. He said, no, preach about being fruitful. I said, well, Lord, I've been preaching about that already. He said, preach from John 15. So, sometimes the Lord changes things up a little bit from what we're expecting. See, I'm the kind of person, I like to know what I'm going to be preaching on. So I really like that when we're doing series. Like, I kind of know already. I remember years ago, I would agonize on what to preach on. Brenda knows, I would go over to the library. There was a seminary nearby. And I would just agonize, oh, Lord, what should I preach on? Lead me in this. And, finally, something would come up. I don't know if it was the Lord or me, but preach something anyway. But it's disconcerting when the Lord changes things on you. It is very disconcerting. But I've also been preaching the Word long enough to know that when you obey the Lord in it, then there is a blessing. He knows exactly what He has for His people. So, as we're going to read this message from John chapter 15, I'd like us to read the scripture together. It is a long passage, but I think it's well worth us reading it. We'll read verses 1 through 17, so I invite you to stand with me out of respect for God's Word. Let's begin together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. We had work day here at the church a few weeks back, and we got a lot done inside. We had planned to do a lot of things outside, but it was pretty raw and cold that day, so we didn't get a lot done. But one of the things that just always plagues me and irks me is the front flower beds and the weeds that are out there. That just every year those weeds pop up faster than anything else, and they just seem to grow magically overnight. And it's every time I pull up, and I've done this over the last several weeks, every time I pull up, there's two or three big weeds, you know, right where I park, if I park in the front. And so I'll go over and I'll pull those things up. The problem is, as I pull those weeds up, they are really strong. And what you find is, you're pulling it up, there's a tap weed that runs over to the mother plant. And so you have two or three, you know, plants that look like they're isolated. But what's really happening is these are just coming out of the tap root that has run underground there. So you pull this plant up, and all of a sudden you have this root that's like 3 or 4 feet long, and it goes over to another plant. Sometimes that other plant is barely visible. It's like the leaves are broken off and everything, and you can't hardly see it. But you have to get to that plant and that mother plant and really dig down deep. And most of the time I don't have a tool or anything with me, so you just kind of break it off as best as you can. And then in about a week or so later, there they are again. So you just say, well, just pull those weeds. Well, the problem is they're connected by the root to the mother plant. And if you don't get the whole thing, they're coming right back. You have to pull that root all the way up and get it out of there. It's a picture to me, really, that Jesus wants us to be connected to Him by the root. He wants our lives to be so connected to Him that really when people try to pull us up, they're pulling Jesus up. When people try to interact with us, we're connected to the root, to the true vine, Jesus. And so they're interacting with Jesus. And I think Jesus wants us to be connected to Him, the true vine. The mother plant, if we want to say that. So that we are receiving, because of our connection, we're receiving strength and spiritual nourishment from Him, and we're going to bear lasting fruit. We're going to bear lasting fruit. You see, the interesting thing about these plants is they don't have a root system themselves big enough to get all the nourishment that they need. You know, they may just have a little bit of root that's just started to form. Oh, but they have that tap root that goes over to the mother plant. And from that root, they're receiving nourishment. They're receiving strength. And they grow. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, they said, well, you haven't said anything about your lawn this season, about your weeds. I don't even call it my lawn anymore. It's just my weeds. And I'm happy to say that I have the nicest weeds in our neighborhood. I have given up the battle. I have given up. And now, on top of the weeds, we have a mole. We have a mole. At least one. Maybe there's a family of them there. And we have tried everything to get rid of this mole. Nothing works. If anybody has a pet, a dog or a cat, that likes to chase and hunt moles, would you please let me borrow your pet? I'll give it back. I'll feed it and give it back. But our yard is an absolute disaster. We have all kinds of weeds, all major varieties of weeds. And now there's big trenches all over the backyard. And they've gotten into the front yard, into the side yard. Now they're going into my neighbor's yard. And I think he's kind of aggravated with me about that. I'm like, look, I don't control the mole. It's not my mole. Yes, it is. So I have the nicest, greenest weeds in the neighborhood. And, you know, when they get trimmed, they look just like grass. So it's good. But back to Jesus. Those weeds in my yard, the weeds here in this church, they're connected to the main root, the mother plant. Jesus wants us to be connected to Him, to receive strength, receive spiritual nourishment, and bear lasting fruit. And that's really the main point. Jesus has called us to abide in Him, to be connected to Him, the true vine, and bear lasting fruit. And what is that? Lasting fruit is a life of love, a life of obedience, a life of reaching out to other people. It's not so much things that we do. Understand me. It's not so much things that we do as much as what is produced in us. Right? A branch does not produce its own fruit. Branch merely bears fruit. The fruit is actually produced by the nourishing sap of the vine or the trunk. The branch merely bears the fruit. We don't produce it. And it's the same thing. It's really about the overflow in our lives when we are connected to Jesus, when we stay connected to Him. Now, you notice in verse 17, Jesus ends this section, this passage, by saying, love each other. Verse 17. Actually, we were supposed to read through 17 and we didn't, did we? See? I'm not connected. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus wants to see in our lives lasting fruit, and the majority of what that comes forth from is from loving each other. This is the distinction between what is the essence of the new covenant versus the old covenant, the Mosaic law, following rules and regulations. I had this discussion with someone here recently. They said, well, you know, as Christians, I think we should still follow the Sabbath. We should still observe the Sabbath. You know, Saturday is the Sabbath, and we should observe the Sabbath. And I said, brother, you're under bondage. We're not under the law. We don't have to follow the Sabbath. We don't have to follow any of the rules and regulations that were under the old part of it, because that's not Christ's law. Christ's law is love one another. Love God and love one another. And Jesus said, in so doing, you fulfill all the law and the prophets. You see, a life that bears lasting fruit is a life of love. A life that is born out in loving each other and then loving those even outside of the family of believers. Under the old covenant, we were taught to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That remains. Here Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another. They are complementary. They are not competing. That's the whole idea of the cross, isn't it? The vertical is that we love God. The horizontal is that we love one another. And so Jesus is calling us to love. He is calling us to bear fruit. Let's break it down in the few minutes we have together. How do we bear lasting fruit? How do we do that in our lives? Number one, He tells us in verse 4, abide in Me, or remain. Abide in Christ. Verse 5, I am the true vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in Me, abides in Me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. This word, to abide, it means to fully live in. It's a word that's used in the context of a home. To fully live in, as in a house. Now, let me give you an example of this, of what abide is not. In 2004, when we knew God was moving us on to a new chapter of ministry, and actually we hadn't even spoken to anyone here in this congregation, any of the search committee, any of the leaders, we hadn't spoken to any of them yet, but what we did is, in preparation for knowing the Lord was going to move us on somewhere, we put our house on the market. Little did we know that it would sell in about 2 days. Yeah, it was like, bam! Yeah, I know many of you have experienced that kind of thing as well. But that presented a problem. We didn't have any place to live. You know, and they wanted to close in like a month. I mean, these folks were anxious to get in, and since we had it for sale, they assumed we were anxious to get out. And, you know, we weren't really anxious to get out. So, not knowing where we were going, we went ahead and rented an apartment locally. And what we had to do is, you know, we had a three-bedroom house that had to fit into a two-bedroom apartment with a very little bit of storage space. And so, you know, we rented a storage unit besides, you know, whatever space we had in the house, in the apartment, rather. And we just kept things stacked up in boxes, you know? And we only used the bare amount of furniture and, you know, the beds, because we didn't know how long we were going to be there. We weren't really fully living there. You know, our hearts weren't there. We, you know, we lived there because we had to have a place to live, but we really weren't living there. Things were in boxes. They were not unpacked. We were constantly looking, where is this? Where's this? Where's that? There's a stack of boxes over here. Forget it. You know, we didn't even want to mess with trying to find it. And, of course, it was not too long after that that we began to interact with the search committee here at this church. So we were only in that apartment, I think it was about 4 or 5 months before we moved here. The point is that we weren't really fully abiding in that house. We didn't consider it our home. It was just a transition. That's not abiding. You see, you can't live with Jesus in a transitional way. You can't just move in with Jesus for a short-term rent. So when you move in with Jesus, you move in for good. When you move in with Jesus, you need to abide. It means you move in, you have Him move into your house, you live together in full abiding. He lives with you, you live with Him, He has access to everything. And I've used this illustration before. You know, Jesus comes to live into the home of your life, you know. And we're so excited when Jesus first shows up and, you know, we have Him come into the living room and, you know, we usually have the living room in order for the most part. And we're so excited about this and the kitchen there. Jesus, can I get you something to eat? You know, we're sitting down and we're fellowshipping together. Jesus said, if you let me in, if you open up your heart, I will come in and have fellowship with you. I will eat with you and you with me. You'll have fellowship together. And that's so glorious and so wonderful, isn't it? You remember those days when you first came to know Christ? When you knew that He loved you and He forgave you of your sins? And you had eternal life with Him? As Brother Mike spoke, you know, that He has you in the palm of His hand. He walks with you through these things. And those are wonderful memories. But the thing is, you see, we want to keep Jesus right there at the dinner table. We want to keep Jesus right there at the dining room or the kitchen table, and everything's good. But Jesus, He doesn't want to stay right there. He gets up and He starts moving towards the back rooms. And we're like, oh, no, Jesus, stay right here, Jesus. Stay right here. Don't go back there. Don't go back there. And we know why, too, don't we? Because it's a mess back there. And we got stuff back there. Stuff, junk, baggage that's been accumulating in our lives, and we know that we need to get rid of it, and we don't want Jesus to see that stuff. We know, you know, in our heads we sort of have this idea, well, you know, Jesus has forgiven me, but man, I still don't want Him to see that stuff. I just don't want Him to see that stuff. And the reality of it is, Jesus is the only one that can clean that up. He's not waiting for you and me to be able to clean up our lives, go back and clean up the rooms, go back and get rid of all the... He's not waiting for you and me to do that. In fact, He doesn't want you and me to do that. Pastor said that Jesus doesn't want us to get rid of our sin, doesn't want us to get rid of our junk. Let me finish. You see, if we do it, and we're doing it out of the wrong motivation, we're doing it out of a sense of human achievement, and then we're going to take pride in it. Oh, hey, look what I did. I got my life cleaned up. How about you? Have you gotten your life cleaned up yet, mister? Have you gotten spiritual like me? That's the attitude we take, isn't it? Y'all, come on now. You can say amen or oh me. We're like that. Oh, hey, I got my life in spiritual order. Shut up. You haven't done anything. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, you can clean up some habits and things like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, when you're doing that out of your own strength, you and I, inevitably, we take credit for it. And we begin to take spiritual pride. We begin to think, oh, you know, boy, I've come a long way. I've really grown spiritually, haven't I? See, what Jesus wants is, He wants you to love Him so much that stuff, you're not even interested in anymore. It's kind of like the stuff that was all out in the yard sale yesterday. It was hilarious to me. It was, you know, it's from one person's attic or garage to another person's attic or garage. I had this one young man who's out there, and he had brought all manner of stuff, and you know, he's selling it, and that's fine, you know. But we're getting near the end there, and he had a lot of stuff left, and he's like, Pastor, he said, maybe I could donate this to the church. And I looked at him, I said, no, you cannot. You can carry it over to Divine Threads right over there, and they'd be glad to take your junk, I mean your stuff. You know, I don't need that stuff, and you and I don't need all that stuff, you know, but we are just so bent on collecting stuff and gathering stuff, and then it sits here at the yard sale, and we get rid of it. But there's so many people that they didn't sell their stuff, then they were asking, you know, does the church want it, or we'll take it over to the Divine Threads and give it away. Near the end, I think it was Ashley, he was just giving stuff away. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, Nancy. You told him to do it. Good for you. Good for you. You buy one thing and he give you five more things to go along with it. But see, all that stuff clutters our houses. And it gets to the point where Jesus wants you to love Him so much and love the things of Him for your life so much that you could care less about that other stuff. It's garage sale stuff. It's stuff that you call AmVets for. And you see, He cleans us up. He says that here, doesn't he? He says that. You are already clean. If I could focus. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You see, we just don't get it. We don't believe it that Jesus says to us, listen, you are already clean. It doesn't matter what you had back in the rooms. It doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter the struggle you're going through. It doesn't matter the baggage that you have left and the things that you seem like you want to hold on to. None of that matters. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Jesus said it to us. Listen, these guys, they weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They didn't even have the righteousness of Christ that was put into them by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to them, because of the word I've spoken to you, and the implication is they believed it. Right? They were believing and receiving Jesus' words. You are already clean. You remember in John 13, chapter earlier, or two chapters earlier, Jesus said, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you, and you don't need a bath. Remember Peter? Oh, Lord, if you're gonna wash our feet, then bathe all of me. Bathe all of me, Lord. And Jesus says, Peter, calm down. Don't get so excited. He says, you don't need a bath. You just need your feet washed. You know what that represents? That we get polluted in this polluted world. And we just need our feet washed. Meaning that we just need the daily cleansing and the daily provision of the Lord of forgiveness for sins that we have. Not for God, for us. We need our feet clean. God doesn't need your feet clean. You're already clean because of the word He has spoken to you. And you see, you have to believe that. Believe Jesus' words and act on it. And say, Lord, but I have all this stuff in these rooms back here. She says, I know. And we're going to have a big yard sale. And we're going to get rid of it all. You watch. You wait. We will. And so, to abide with Christ means to fully live in Him. And to stay connected to Him, who is the source of our life. And through His Word and through His love, like that branch to the vine, like that weed that is rooted to the mother plant, we live in full connection with Jesus Christ. And you see, it's not about performance. It's not about performance. I have to remind myself every day, Tom, it is not about you performing for the Lord. You're already clean because of the word He has spoken to you and the word that you believe. I'm already clean. He's done it. Done deal. It's a truth, and you and I must lay hold of it and believe it and put it into action in our lives. Now, watch this. I know this already. I mean, I've preached from this passage numerous times. And as I looked at this again and read through this again, like the Lord just blew my mind with this again. Look with me at verse 7. So He wants us to stay connected, wants us to abide, wants us to remain in Him and His Word in us, His life in us. Verse 7, if you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. What? What? That is outrageous. I want you to think about this for me. He's talking to His disciples. These are normal, ordinary people, just like you and me. And this is what He says to them. Remain in Me, My words remain in you, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Is that crazy or what? Now, I know some of you all think, man, that is irresponsible of you saying that. This is where the whole prosperity gospel came from. Jesus, why did you say that? Jesus, I don't really think you should say it that way. You should change that. You should say it differently. Lord, Jesus, there's going to be a lot of risk with people when you tell them that. And there is, isn't there? There's a lot of crazy stuff that's out there that's being done in the name of Christ. Crazy stuff. All manner of crazy stuff. Somehow or another, I got this email. I can't even remember the name of the ministry that it was. But it was an email, and it said something about your dreams are ready to come true. Click on this, and your dreams are going to come true. And just for fun, I clicked on it. It's some church ministry out in Arizona or Colorado or something. I can't even remember what. But and what it said was, we have prayed over this oil and blessed it. And if you will send us a certain amount of money, let's just say $50 or $100, we will send you a vial of this oil. And if you will take this oil and you will anoint whatever it is that you're praying about, you'll anoint that, it's going to come true. I said, man, I could use that on some of them cars I'm selling. Put some of that oil on them cars, and people won't even know why they're buying those cars. So you better not buy any cars from me. Now, is that ridiculous or what? I mean, that is outrageous. Now, please don't, think that I don't believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. I saw the power of God work today. Okay? But God is a God of decency and of order, and He brings glory to Himself, not some ministry that's trying to rake in the dollars. That's another sermon. I'm stopping myself right now so I don't go off on a tangent. But that's just, I call that Christian craziness. There's all kind of manner of craziness out there. But here's where it's taught. Jesus, your fault, Jesus. Look what you said. So there's a lot of risk in that statement, isn't there? Let's just be honest. There's risk in that. And you know what Jesus said? Yeah, there is. There's a lot of risk in that statement. There's a risk that disciples who become misguided, disciples that love money, disciples that become greedy, disciples that are self-centered, disciples that are misguided in the sense of what God wants for us, that will use this and abuse this the wrong way. There is risk in this. It has been going on for thousands of years and will continue to go on. But Jesus says, if you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Look with me at the second part of the verse, 7. This is to My Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. You see, what He wants us to ask for is that which is going to bring the Father glory. That which is going to extend the kingdom. That which is going to help other people. That which is going to be a manifestation of love, because that's what fruit being born is the basis of the love, where he says love one another. And so yes, there's risk. But God has given us the ability to say, Father, I believe this would be for your glory. Father, I believe that if I ask for this person's salvation, that this would be for your glory. Father, I believe if I ask for healing for Becky Thompson, I believe that's for your honor, and you're going to honor your word, Lord. Whatever the particular need or desire is, Lord, what is your desire in this? What would honor you in this? Now, just remember, he is the master, and we are the servant, right? And sometimes what we think is going to honor the Father, bring him glory, is not what he thinks. That's why we have a Joe Thompson that lingered for many, many years and then died. It's not humanly what we would want, but God brought it about in his way. I was having a conversation with Becky just the other day about this. Our sister's still hurting from that. I hope you know that. She's still grieving the loss of her husband, even after these months. But, you know, it was years and years. And I was talking to Becky the other day, you know, about my mom, who's lingering at this point. And it's our desire, the family's all in unity, that the Lord would just take her. Take it to himself. She's going to receive a new body. She's going to receive her ultimate healing in her body. And right now she's just lingering. So it's our prayer. Lord, don't let her linger. Don't let her suffer. But you know what? God's will be done. God's will be done. And so it was with Becky. She says, I understand exactly what you're saying. She said, I struggled the last couple of years because on the one hand, we didn't want Joe to struggle and linger. But on the other hand, we wanted him to be here, you know, as the father, the husband. He got to see Sarah's wedding. That was a beautiful thing. That was a beautiful thing. And so sometimes what we think is going to bring glory to the Father is not what he thinks is right. And we're always to be mindful that he's the master. We are the servant. So even when we don't understand, when we don't get it, we leave that in the Father's hand. We will abide, we'll stay connected to him, and we will bear much fruit. That's what Jesus says. We will bear much fruit. And so, when we talk about the spiritual life, which we've been talking about over these past weeks, the spiritual life is best seen in us when we are bearing spiritual fruit. The spiritual life is best seen in us when we are bearing fruit for the Father's glory. You see, you can't fake fruit. We can fake words, and we are pretty good at it, aren't we? All kinds of faking of words, especially in these days or the political arena that we're going on. I've never seen such a day when people say things and they're absolute lies. They're wordsmiths today. And it's an absolute shame. I was thinking about this as Mike was praying for our country, praying for this nation. Folks, I don't think things are going to get much better. I'm going to be very honest with you. I do not believe things are going to get any better. And you know why? Because we have leaders, they're just leading out of their own thoughts. We have very, very few politicians, elected leaders, that are leading out of the wisdom of the Lord. You know? Why are we surprised that our country is in the way it is? Because the people are just leading and making decisions not out of godly wisdom. No, they're out of their own thoughts or what is best for them. You know, and when you begin to get focused on that, it becomes self-centered. So now you're not really thinking of the people. You're thinking of yourself. You're thinking of your party. Anyway, that's another sermon too. But that's, you know, we talk about bearing fruit. Our leaders are not bearing any fruit. That it's going to be lasting fruit. You know, that's why we need to pray for our leaders. One of the things we pray for every week when we gather for intercession on Wednesday nights is we pray for our leaders to have godly wisdom. But I pray specifically, Lord, would you please raise up a prophet who will speak to our national leaders? There isn't any right now. They're not listening to anybody. Who are they listening to? Listening to each other. blah, 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 blah. You know, what's it like, Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. You just hear these words. I hardly watch anything with regard to political stuff anymore. It makes me sick to my stomach. Words that are meaningless because they're lies. So, you know, if you're hoping for the political promise and the political process that's going to be our salvation in 2016, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it matters whether it's a Republican or an independent that gets in the House. If it's not a person who is committed to seeing spiritual fruit being born in their lives, it's going to be more of the same. Just more of the same. And so Jesus wants us to bear fruit. Fruit for the Father's glory. Fruit that is going to honor Him. Fruit that is going to remain. How do we do that? Number one, we stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We remain in Him. We abide in Him. Number two, we keep His Word abiding in us. We keep His Word abiding in us. Is that the right time up there? All right. I'm going to preach for a little while. Little while. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. How do we keep His word remaining in us? Now, I want you to think about this for a second. When Jesus is speaking this, okay, the average folks did not have a Bible. Okay? Jewish people, the people of God, they did not have their own personal copy of Torah, right? It was in the synagogue. And they would go to synagogue each week, and the scrolls were open, and the word was proclaimed to them. Jesus is teaching His disciples, so they have a little better understanding of the word. And each time He's with them, He's teaching them. But they don't have copies like we have. They are basically, you know, being reminded by the Lord Jesus of His words, of things He's been saying to them, teaching them, and slowly but surely they're getting it. They're starting to get it. But Jesus said, and we saw it last week in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, what? He will remind you of the things that I've said to you. And He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will take that which is of mine and He will make it known to you. You and I have this beautiful privilege of saying every day, Holy Spirit, make Christ's word alive to me. Remind me the words of Christ. Remind me of the teachings of Your word, Lord. We have to every day ask the Lord to do that. Now, another really, really good way to do this, and you probably never heard of this before, it's going to be a novel idea, okay? You actually open your Bible and read it. Yeah. Now, I know some of you used, a little devotional guide, and that's fine. You know, some of you have the little thing, the Daily Crumb, right? So a little booklet has about one or two verses in it and a couple sentences there, and that's, you know. Listen, that's okay. But you and I need more than that. If we're going to feed spiritually on the Lord, you need more than a couple crumbs. You and I ought to be reading through the words of Jesus. It's like every time I read, especially the red letter words, you know, it's like brand new. And I see things that I've never seen before. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, now I get that, Lord. Now I get that. Now I understand that. You see, because that's revelation. It's God making the Word alive to us. And you see, we want the exciting stuff, you know, the flashy and all. Listen, we need to feed on the diet of God's Word, right? Meat and potatoes of God's Word. That's how we grow spiritually. So we allow His Word to take heart, take root in us. And let's see, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is a challenge to us. Ron Walters will read that.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Wow. Let your words of Christ dwell in you richly. There's that same word. Dwell, abide. Let the word abide in you. You teach and admonish one another. In other words, we're interacting with each other with the word. By the way, that's why we have care groups. Care groups, and some of them meet different nights. You know, and if you'd like to get involved with a care group, we'd love to have you. And we just interact with the word on an informal basis. We usually eat together and so on. Let us know if you're interested in doing that. But there's another way we can do this. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I am not a songwriter. I've tried it once. And that was the last and only time I did it. Tried to write a song. Then I burned it. Some of you are talented in this area, and I challenge you, write some songs that are based on the Word. People are doing that all the time, you know. Sometimes we go, well, where did that song come from? We sing these songs, and people actually write them. You know? They actually do. They, based on the psalm, based on the Word, they write things, and then musically you have to put a tune to it, but it's an incredible thing. One of the things I do is I have, and they're dated, they're a little bit older, but I still love them. I have scripture songs that are on CD, and I pop them in, and I'm listening to them all day long. You know? And because I'm having more and more trouble as I get older here, memorizing. I'm having more and more trouble retaining. I'm having more and more trouble remembering. You know, stuff's coming out in half King James and half NIV, and it's a garble of it, and I'm having trouble. But this is helping me. You know, song is based on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Most gladly, therefore, I will always boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ will be shown in me. Now, please don't think Tom is some great memorizer. I am not. But you know what? I've been listening to that tape for about 4 or 5 months now. And those words are in me. You know? And so when I'm encountering something difficult, my grace is sufficient for you, Tom. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Lord, I feel weak. I feel weak. I can't do anything about this situation. This thing's going on. I can't do anything about it. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You and I can do some practical things to help ourselves remain in the Word. We can. But it takes effort. It takes effort. Most of you have a really fancy phone today. Not like me. I have the old flip phone. Most of you have some kind of a fancy phone or a PDA or, you know, whatever it is. And your phone has apps that I can't even comprehend, you know. And find some apps that will help you in memorizing the Word and interacting with the Word that will bring the Word of Christ to you, the Psalms and Proverbs, songs, whatever works for you. Find a venue that helps you. Now, it's going to take some effort, you know. It's going to take some effort because we all like music. Most of us like music, and you have all manner of music out there these days, and you can plug it into your iPod or your phone, or plug it into your head, you know, and you have music going all the time. Why not take music that is based on the Word? You don't have to do it all the time. It's okay if you listen to some other kind of music. We were watching a little program when I was with my mom the last time visiting. And had all these oldies coming up. I mean, stuff that was like back from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. We were listening to all these different songs and, you know, singing along with them. It was like, this was neat, you know. And that's okay. It's okay to have fun like that, you know. Not raunchy stuff. I'm not talking about raunchy songs. But I'm talking about, you know, love songs and, you know, Beatles stuff. Not the LSD stuff, but Beatles stuff. Well, there's a lot of their LSD stuff, wasn't there? I don't know. Anyway, It's okay to enjoy some music, but let that be one venue. Music that glorifies God, that brings the words of Christ to you. Remind you of His words. Cements the Word into you. Why? Because whatever you put in is going to come out. Right? Whatever you put in is going to come out. And the fruit that's coming, listen to me. We're just about done. We're heading down the home plate here. Whatever you put into your life is what's going to come out. What you're putting into you, what you're putting into your spirit, man, is going to come out. And listen, it is not enough for you to come here once a week on Sunday and hear an hour and a half message and then come Tuesday nights or another Bible study night. That is not enough to bring you through the week. And it's not, it is not the church as a whole, it's not the church's responsibility to feed you. It's your responsibility. We were talking about a friend who was used to be a new believer. Now he's 4 or 5 years old in the Lord. And so, but, remember the days when we were feeding them pablum like a little baby. You're feeding them spiritual word of Christ. You can't keep doing that. That has to move on. You can't keep a baby eating pablum. No. And spiritually, we have to move off pablum. We have to begin to feed ourselves into the Word of God so that we grow strong, as Peter says, grow strong as believers in Christ. Move off the pablum. Well, thank you for your attention to the Word. Let's go to the Lord together. I'm going to have to finish the rest of this next time. Father, thank you for meeting with us today. It's been sweet. It's been wonderful. Thank you for the way that you minister to us. You know us intimately, Lord. You know what we need. I pray for each one here. Your word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the heart and the marrow of bones, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, and we ask that you'll allow us to go forth from here and put this into action. Allow your word to dwell in us. Allow you, Lord, to dwell in our lives, and let us dwell in you. Lord, for those that are here today that this is new to them, they don't quite know what it means to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Him. Lord, bring them along. Help them to take that next step. Open their lives, open their heart to you, so that they can know you, Jesus Christ, and have eternal life. Thank you, Father. We praise you and we bless you. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.